I keep wanting to say welcome international fan base, but that is not.
That's the other one.
That's the other one.
That's got almost nothing to do with this one.
All right. Hey, everybody. So there's a couple episodes of the podcast out now. So we decided that we wanted to let you guys know what we're sort of all about. So we're going to do like a top five games of all time thing, and then a sort of game of the year thing, just so that you guys know what we're all about.
Yeah. Just so you understand where we're coming from.
Yeah, like so that you know who we are.
On like a and what personal we like. Level.
We like some terrible games, but we also like some good games.
Some very good games.
Some very good games. So, Christopher.
Yes, Michael. I don't know why I just put my hands together. In like the supervillain thing where they like put their fingertips together. I'm like, yes, Michael.
I don't know either. So, do you want to do Game of the Year first, or do you want to do Top 5 of all time first? Let's do the year.
Okay, we can do the year first.
Yeah, let's do the year. Now, personally, I picked three games that actually came out this year, but that was not one of the prerequisites. Like, we didn't have to do that.
I only played two games that came out. Oh, three games that came out this year, and I don't like one of them. So, I picked one of the other ones because I figured I might as well.
Okay, well, why don't you start us off?
All right, well, my game of 2020.
3, 2, 1?
Or just whenever. I can just start talking.
No.
Oh, no, that was for editing. I'm dumb.
I meant do number three, number two, and then number one.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense. Well, number three, which is a game I don't like, is Doom Eternal. Like I said, I literally only played three games from this year.
Mm-hmm.
So three is Doom Eternal, which two is Black Ops Cold War, which I only play zombies, but I really like it. It's got solid shooting mechanics, and there's a couple of things that are a little annoying, but it's refreshing. If you've played zombies, it's different enough from normal zombies.
Yeah. I would hope that after this many years that Call of Duty would have their shooting mechanics down.
I mean, you very clearly didn't play Black Ops 4.
No.
Anyways, number one is Persona 5 Royale. Yeah, I only played three games from 2020.
Oh, yeah. I guess Royal did come out in 2020, didn't it?
We here in the West got Royal at the end of February, beginning of March.
Oh. Yep. I didn't even, like, put that on my list because I forgot that came out this year.
Yep.
And I haven't beaten it yet. I only beat regular 5.
I have also not beat Royal yet. Because I hate Okumura, but that seems to be a pretty common consensus among people who play the game. So I'm like, that's fine. But I really enjoyed what I have played of it. Just because I'm struggling on one part, that could also just be me, because this is only the second Persona game I've ever played. But I like the way it looks. I like the music. I like the fighting. I like the stands.
I definitely, if I would have thought about it, I would have put it on my list because even though I didn't beat it, I can tell I got halfway through it and the improvements from regular 5 are
amazing,
like noticeable.
Yeah,
it's a noticeably different game and better in every way.
Yeah,
which is amazing because Persona 5 is like
really good on its own.
Yeah, it's like maybe not in my top 10 of all time, but it's up there. It's a fucking great game.
Yeah. So my top three are just the only three from this year that I've played. Yeah.
Okay. I'm with you on Doom Eternal, though, too. Like, I loved 2016. I thought Doom 2016 was fucking awesome. And I played about 3 hours worth of Eternal, and I'm like, this, I don't know what it is, but it just does not feel the same.
My biggest thing is, and we have a thing where we'll go into this more at a later date, but while I can tell Eternal is a technical improvement on 2016, it just does not feel as good to play.
Yeah, you know it's, I mean? It is, it's definitely missing something. Even though it looks and plays great, it's just...
It's
missing some heart or something.
Yeah. I hate doing this, but it reminds me of like the way people felt when Doom 3 came out and people didn't like Doom 3 because it was such a departure.
That makes sense. Yep.
But it feels like I'm on the wrong side now because everybody loves Eternal. And I'm like, it's fine. Like, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I don't like it.
And maybe they'll do something to Eternal like they did to Doom 3 to, like, just tweak it a little bit and make it. Because Doom 3, that BFG edition, is fucking cool as hell.
Yeah, it's really good. It's fun.
Yeah. So maybe they'll do something like that to Eternal. But, I'm with you on that one. It's not the same.
Yeah. Anyways, that's my top three. I believe it's your turn now, Michael.
Well, mine's a little bit more traditional.
Hmm?
Like, as far as games of the year. So, my number three was Ghost of Tsushima. Uh-huh. I know you didn't play that, but...
I haven't, but I watched somebody play 300 hours of it, so...
Yeah, I don't know if I would go 300 hours. It was just... I love the Assassin's Creed games... Like, the old Assassin's Creed games?
So, like, 1, 2, 3, and Black Flag?
Yeah. But these last three that have come out are, like, good RPGs, but I didn't like them as Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah.
So, Ghost of Tsushima was sort of the Assassin's Creed game that I wanted, so I was very happy with Ghost of Tsushima. I played a buttload of that game.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all I have to say about it. It's a very good Assassin's Creed game.
Did it feel like enough of its own thing, though?
I mean, yeah, the sword fighting, like the duels and, you know, the story was off enough from an Assassin's Creed thing. It didn't have any of the modern day bullshit that the Assassin's Creed games had.
So the bad stuff.
It was all the good stuff about those old Assassin's Creed games, and hardly any of the bad stuff.
All right.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, it does.
All right, and then my number two is a little bit different. It's Carrion. The reverse horror game where you play as, like, this weird, squishy, disgusting tentacle monster. It's like a Metroidvania, but you're the villain and you're going around killing the scientists. And it's just, I can't tell you exactly, but like it feels very good to play. Like it's almost like you're swimming, but not in a bad video game swimming sort of way.
So you're not playing a water level, you're just kind of moving through the air.
No, you can just get everywhere on the screen, and the sound design is great. Like, when you're creeping around and your tentacles suck onto a wall or a floor or something, it sounds so squishy and gross. Like, it's just... And it's another one of those games that's like, it's not super long, and it's not super hard, so it doesn't wear out its welcome. It never feels unfair. So it's just sort of But it's hard enough that it's not like a breeze to play. It's like got the perfect amount of difficulty and, you know, it's the perfect length. So it's like it doesn't wear out its welcome. You're not sick of it by the time you're done playing it. So, like a lot of Metroidvanias that I've played.
So it's sort of similar to like Momodora, where it's like this nice length. It's not too hard. It's not too easy.
Yep. Yeah, that's that would be what I would compare it to. But even then, you know, it in different ways. But yeah, that's yeah. So Carrion, definitely great. If you have Game Pass, it's on there now. I don't know if you're listening to it in the future; it might not be there, but you should have Game Pass anyway.
Hello from the past. I don't. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, and then my number one was, I know you don't love it, but it's The Last of Us Part Two.
No, I won't boo. I'll be nice.
I know, and that's fine. Like, I totally get not liking it, but I was not a huge fan of the first one. But this one feels a lot better to play. Like, Naughty Dog in the past has always given me games that I felt like were great stories, but weren't fun games to play.
So like Uncharted.
Yeah, like the Uncharted games. Like I think those games would make amazing movies, but I never wanted to play one until 4. Like 4 and Lost Legacy are so much fun to play. But that's how I felt about The Last of Us. Like it was a really good story, but I didn't want to play the game to advance the story. But The Last of Us 2 is a very good stealth game, and it's just very fun to play. Like, I enjoyed my time playing it. The story is whatever. It's very heavy-handed. It's like there's nothing subtle about it ever, but it gets the point across. It does what it's aiming to do. So, yeah, Last of Us 2 is just, I thought it was great.
So how much did Naughty Dog pay you to say that?
Sorry, I wish Naughty Dog.
I had to get one crack in there about the game. I'm sorry.
I wish Naughty Dog would pay me because they wouldn't have to pay me. Like they would have had to have paid me a lot to talk nice about the first Last of Us, but this one, I'll talk about it nice for free.
Don't tell them that. They might be like, "Hey, can you talk nice about our game for nothing?"
I just did. You're welcome, Naughty Dog. You can send the check.
Send the check for $500. Hey. For 12 seconds of me talking about The Last of Us 2. Nice.
That's fine. $500 is $500.
Yeah, there you go. That's PS5, right?
Hell yeah, if I could find one.
Right?
All right. Well, now we got Game of the Year done. Let's just do our top five of sort of all time. I also have an honorable mention in here, so if you want to throw one of those in, go for it.
Oh, an honorable mention. Okay, so you want me to go first again?
Yeah.
Which I guess would make sense.
You don't have to do an honorable mention, but you can.
All right. So top five of all time. Number five is from like 2000. It's the Spider-Man game from PS1 and N64. So it's like the first 3D Spider-Man game.
The one that Bruce Campbell does the voice of during the tutorial.
No.
No?
No.
No, maybe I'm thinking of something else.
You're thinking of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man games. I'm talking way on the PlayStation 1, it's the first 3D Spider-Man game. All blocky, and Stan Lee has a couple voiceovers in it.
Okay.
That was the first game I ever owned, like, for myself, and it's still my favorite Spider-Man game.
Wow.
That's including Spider-Man PS4.
Wow. Like, what?
I love that game. Like, and I am well aware of its jank and how poorly it controls being on a PS1, but I love it so much. It's the game I want to get a remaster the most out of any game I've ever played.
Okay.
Because I just want to play it again on modern hardware So
okay, yeah. I'm into it.
Number four is Devil May Cry 3, which
okay,
I thought long and hard about my rankings about Devil May Cry, and I still think 3 beats out the remake and 5 for me. Not by much, but by, like, enough. Because for the longest time, the three of them always kind of occupy, like, the same space. So, mm-hmm. like, they were all in first place, and then Devil May Cry 1 was third or fourth place, and then Devil May Cry
2 is last.
2 is last, and 4 is fifth.
Really. Okay.
But I was thinking about it, and I think 3 is my favorite, because I think it's just like with the... With my number 5, it's the memory of playing it the first time I played it. Because that was the first Devil May Cry game I played. So I remember running through it with my cousin in, like, after school on Fridays. And just beating it all the way through.
Okay.
Every week. And I remember...
I remember
beating it on the highest difficulty and, like, having no problem with it. Which you would not believe if you watched me play it on Twitch, because I, like...
I don't believe that you didn't have a problem with it, but...
Got my ass kicked. It had been a decade, man. But yeah, so...
No, that's... I mean, I get that. Devil May Cry 3, best Devil May Cry game. It's not my favorite one, but I'm not good at the Devil May Cry games, as I said in the last one, but yeah. But I totally get that. Like... As far as those traditional Devil May Cry games go, like that's definitely the best one, I would say.
So number three is hard. So will number two will be hard too, because I know what number one is.
Yeah.
I'm actually gonna say number three is gonna probably have to be. This is gonna be really weird for me, but. Pokemon Shield.
Oh, wow.
Because I really enjoyed that game, and I still really enjoy that game.
Okay.
Like, more than I thought I would.
I'm on the same page. It wouldn't be in my five of all time, but, like, as far as Pokemon goes, like, I have by far the most amount of time into Sword. Like, I fucking love that. And, yeah, no, I get it. As far as being the like your favorite Pokemon game,
yeah,
I totally get it.
It's also the only one I own. That might have something to do with it. But yeah, I just like when I first got it, I got basically to the end of the game before I stopped playing it. So if I can do that with a game, that means I really like it.
Yeah, no, I think that one's great. It's very accessible. Like it's not. It never feels like a chore. Like, a lot of the old Pokemons, feel like a chore to me. But this one never felt like a chore. It's definitely, like, very easy, but it's just fun, which I feel like a Pokemon game sort of should be.
Yeah.
So, I think that's a fine choice there.
And it will probably be replaced by something else at some point. Probably soon. Probably
yeah,
after
that's...
we're done with this, it'll be something else. But
that's fine.
Just I've played so many games that I'm doing this off the top of my head.
Oh,
so,
wow. I definitely wrote mine down. So go ahead and do number two, and then I'll go.
Oh.
And then when we get to my number one, we'll just talk about it, because I know it's both of our number ones.
Oh, okay, good. My number two is Time Splitters, just... All three of them are just going to be my number two.
That's fine. I cheated on my number two as well.
I was super into the Time Splitters game. Like, when I just had a PS2. I beat them every level multiple times. I got all the trophies, like the in-game trophies, because this was before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, achievements.
Mm-hmm.
I unlocked every skin. I built maps in the third one.
Wow.
Yeah, I was super into it. That's another series that I've always wanted, like, a remaster or a remake of, just to play it again. on new hardware.
Yeah, the Time Splitters games were cool as hell. I didn't spend nearly as much time as you did on them.
You spent so much time, dude.
Yeah, but I always enjoyed what I played of them, so I get that. I like Time Splitters, that's a fucking good number two.
That's an amazing number two. Oddly enough, number two is the worst Time Splitters game in my opinion. It's 3-1-2 for me, which...
That, yeah, that also makes sense.
It's because I don't like Cortez's partner in two, because she's annoying as fuck. I do have an honorable mention.
Okay, go ahead.
My honorable mention is just going to be Royal. So my number one for the year is going to be my honorable mention.
That's fine. That's a solid honorable mention.
It really got me playing the other JRPGs I own again. So,
yeah, no, I totally get it, because I'm not a fan of JRPGs, like, normally. I'm not big on turn-based combat. I'm not big on talking to NPCs, but that the Persona series does everything perfectly.
Yeah, there's just something special about it, I think.
Yeah, it definitely. And 5 isn't my favorite Persona game, but it's... I think technically pretty much perfect.
Yeah.
Like, and so, you know, the fact that I prefer 4 is more of a,
it's
I
more
played
of a personal
4 first.
Thing.
Yeah. That's a personal thing, but,
just
but Persona 5 is fucking great. And Royal is so like an improvement on everything.
Yeah. So, so that's my honorable mention. And I really don't have anything to say because you said it all for me already. Like, the only thing I would have that add on to that is, like, I don't know what they're going to do with 6, because they're going to have to, at the very least, match 5 and 5 Royal. And if they really want to wow people again, they're going to have to go past it. And I just don't know what they're going to do.
Well, everybody thought that about 4 is, like, what they were going to do to 5 to make it better than 4, and I think they don't necessarily have to make it better. I think they just have to make it different, and if I trust anybody to make a different game, it's Atlas.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I think they'll do just fine with it.
All right, your turn, Master Miyagi.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start with my honorable mention, which is Deadly Premonition, which we are going to get into more on a later episode. That's one of those games that I sort of know is bad, but I appreciate so much because it's exactly what Sweary wanted to make, and he didn't compromise on, like, his vision of the game. So, you know, whatever he had to skimp on to make exactly the game that he wanted to, he did that. So I really appreciate what that game is and what he did to make it.
Is Deadly Premonition the game where your only weapon is a camera, or is that Fatal Frame? That's Fatal Frame.
No, right? That's Fatal Frame. Deadly All right. Premonition is basically Twin Peaks the game.
Yeah,
it came out on Xbox 360, and it looks like a Dreamcast game.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. What it looks like is not, it doesn't matter. That thing could look like a NES game, and if it did what it does, I would still, like, that's one of those games that I appreciate more than I want to say enjoy playing, because there's a lot of bad shit about how that game plays. But again, we'll get into that later.
Down the line, we promise.
Yes. Okay, so my number 5 is Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. And I would have put 2 in here, except Brotherhood, it's just like, it's tweaked. It plays better. It has more modes. And it has the only multiplayer that I ever enjoyed playing.
All right. I am not super into, like, what's going on with the Assassin's Creed games, but Brotherhood's the end of Ezio's whole thing, right?
Not the end. It's the middle one.
It's the middle one.
Yeah, it's the second Ezio game.
So the first Ezio game is 2, and then...
Yes. Brotherhood. And then it's Brotherhood, and then it's... I want to say Unity, but that's not right. Revelation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But this is the middle one. It introduces the tower defense part, which isn't bad. I like tower defense. These are pretty easy unless, you know, you really get into it and then it can be difficult. But like the stuff that you have to do isn't too bad. And then it has the multiplayer where you have to like blend into a crowd while somebody else is hunting you and you have a target. So like everybody's going after one person while trying to avoid one person who's trying to assassinate them. And it's really like, it's so tense and it's so incredible. Like when everybody was, because nobody plays it anymore, but.
Well, you don't know. Somebody could still play it online.
Nah, I think the servers are down, but. But when everybody was playing it right, it was very tense. Okay, so Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Then my number 4 is Earthworm Jim. This is a nostalgia one for me. This was one of the first games that I ever, like, it. I played a lot of games before the Genesis came out, but this was the first one that,
really,
like, clicked, like,
really
wow, these games,
there.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely old.
I mean, I wasn't going to cut you out.
Well, you did. It's fine. I'm old. But when Earthworm Jim came out, it was like, holy shit. It's like, it looked so good and it played so smooth and the levels were so varied. It was like, it was the first time I thought, like, why doesn't everybody make a game like this? Like, there's so many shitty side-scrolling 8-bit and 16-bit games. You play Earthworm Jim and it's like, I know you can do better than these shitty games. Like, Earthworm Jim exists.
Yeah, it's like, I know this can be done. Why are you not doing that?
Yeah. Yeah. And very few games from back then, like the guy who made Earthworm Jim, like, worked on the Disney games like Aladdin and Lion King.
Well, that's surprising.
Yeah. No, not really, because those games are also incredible. Like, that's just when you care about what you're doing, it shows. And Earthworm Jim was one of the first ones that's like, wow, somebody really put like the music and the graphics and the various levels and like the boss fights. It's just so much love was put into that game that it just shows. Like, you can just tell. And it's funny and whatever. So Earthworm Jim is incredible. If you haven't played it, definitely play it.
I always felt like Earthworm Jim was really, like, adult. Like more so than, like, his other stuff was.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely some horniness there.
That's fine.
So I enjoy that in games, though. I like a nice horny game.
Who doesn't? Oh, wait. Prudes.
Yeah, we don't need them listening to our podcast anyway.
This is true.
All right, and then my number 3 is Portal 2.
That's a good one.
I don't know what I can say about Portal. Like, it's literally the best puzzle game I've ever played. Like, Portal 1, incredible. It was like a revelation to what you could do with video games. But Portal 2, you know, it adds in the goops. You know, it's got a nice long campaign. The writing is just as good, and then the co-op is like a whole separate thing, and that's also incredible. Like, I can't say enough good stuff about Portal. I have fucking Portal tattoos, for Christ's sake.
Yes, you do, and they're amazing. Sorry to cut into your list. I need to make an addendum. Because I totally forgot this game existed till just now. So I'm just switching my third place game. So I'm switching Shield out for Brutal Legend.
Okay.
Because I had completely forgot everything about Brutal Legend. But while you were talking, I was scrolling through my Steam library. And I'm like, oh shit, I forgot about this. because it's right there at the top.
Okay. Hey, that's all right. Brutal Legend is awesome. I also have that on my Steam list, and I'm actually pretty sure we'll end up doing an episode on that one because
I don't think
not many people loved it, but spoiler alert, that's also going to be one that I agree is great.
In case you don't know, Brutal Legend is Jack Black's video game about a kick-ass roadie being summoned to an alternate fantasy world. For you anime nerds, it's called Getting Isekai'd. Jack Black gets Isekai'd. You get a battle axe and a guitar that makes things explode. It's super good. It's got, like, third-person action combat mixed in with real-time strategy slash, like, tower defense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool as hell with, like, a heavy metal cover aesthetic. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's really
Please
good.
Continue.
That's all right. Okay, so Chris's new number three is
Stop.
Brutal Legend.
One
minute. See you later, Pokemon. All right, my number two is where I cheated because I could not pick between the two of these, and it is Super Metroid and Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Yeah, that's fair.
I love Metroidvania games, and the reason that they're called Metroidvania games is because of Super Metroid and Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Yep.
Like, these are both incredible games, and they hold up super well. Like, I replayed Symphony, like, I've been playing Symphony of the Night on my phone. It's so good that I don't even mind using the shitty touch controls to play it. Like, it's not the ideal way to do it, but the game is fun enough that it's fine to do. And then Super Metroid, I replayed just this year on my fucking Super Nintendo Classic, which has a 5-foot cord, so I had to sit on the floor like I was a 5-year-old to play this, and I still played all the way through it, like sitting on the floor with this 5-foot cord attached to the Super Nintendo Classic. And I'm like, you know what? This is fine. This game is so good that I don't even mind.
Took you back to being a high schooler, huh?
I wasn't in high school when the Super Nintendo came out.
You're right. I'm sorry. Middle school. I apologize.
Yeah, I was probably in like a 6th grade. But whatever. So, the OG Metroidvanias, Super Metroid.
The ones that started it all.
Yeah. And I was thinking, like, I was playing Aria of Sorrow not that long ago, and the thought crossed my mind, is this as good as Symphony of the Night? And then I dismissed that thought because it's not. But just the fact that that thought crossed my mind, I'm like, fuck, Aria of Sorrow is great, but it's not on my list because Symphony of the Night is
better,
top
by,
tier.
Yeah,
it's better in every way, even though
it
whatever.
Came out beforehand. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so that's my number two. So our collective number one, do you want to say it?
Yes, I would love to say it. Our collective number one is the greatest game of all time, by the way. And we'll probably stay there unless they make a sequel. It's Bloodborne.
Yeah, it's definitely Bloodborne.
Absolutely Bloodborne. Since I got Bloodborne and beat it like that first time, it hasn't moved from that first spot. And it's been 5 years.
Yeah, I've never played a game like I play Bloodborne. Like, I am not one to go through a game a second time. I have 5 characters on Bloodborne, all of which are at least on New Game Plus 2.
Bloodborne
absolutely
is the game
amazing.
I have the most hours in. I have well over 2,000 hours in Bloodborne.
Yeah, it's so good. Like, the combat, like we were talking about when we were talking about Dark Souls 2, like, that combat in those Souls games is so fucking spot on, and it is never better than it is in Bloodborne.
And just the variation on what they normally do in the Souls games. Because, like, in the other three, it's, you know, this medieval castle dragons and knights and stuff. And then you get to Bloodborne and it's Victorian London, plagues, vampires. It's a nice, it's an aesthetic change that works so well.
Yeah. I can't even, we can't get into it because we've already been recording for 40 minutes, but we could literally talk. I mean, we have talked about this game for hours.
Yeah. Like, we have been at work sometimes and we've been working at stations next to each other and just spent the whole night talking about this one game.
Yeah.
That's how amazing it is.
Like, I've been playing games. I mean, I'm old, so I've been playing games since literally the Atari. Like, I've had Ataris. I've been to, you know, we used to spend a lot of time at arcades. I've had at least one console from every generation, as, you know, as they were coming out. And I have never felt the way that I feel about Bloodborne. Like, I can't even explain it. It's just, the combat is perfect. The settings, you know, the movement, the bosses are so varied. Like you said, the weapons, you don't have to worry about, you don't really have to worry about your armor that much.
It's as, you know, fashion souls as you can get.
Yeah. You're not hiding behind a shield. It's go in and it's really, I mean, I think it's the perfect video game.
Yeah. It's if it's not perfect, it's as close to perfect as a video game's ever going to get.
Yeah. And I'm not one to say, you know, I'm never going to change my mind about this. Like, prove me wrong. Come out with a better game than Bloodborne. I wish somebody would, because that would be amazing. But I don't see it happening because...
Hang on.
Because goddamn...
Metacritic. There are 149 negative reviews for Bloodborne.
Oh, well, you know what? Those people are wrong.
Those people are absolutely wrong. Well, so all right.
We're not going to get into the negative reviews. Maybe we'll add an addendum. Maybe we'll just do a Bloodborne episode if we feel like it one day, and we'll just go through bad reviews and make fun of them.
Yeah. It'll be like 6 hours long. It's fine. It's whatever. I can talk for six
That's
hours.
All right.
It's not like I haven't done it before.
Yeah, I can definitely talk for 6 hours about Bloodborne. So yeah, that was just sort of an episode to let you guys know sort of where we're coming from. This is going to be coming out on Christmas Day. So I know that not everybody celebrates Christmas, but a lot of people do, and I don't think it's going to be a huge day for downloading podcasts, so, you know, we didn't want to put out a regular episode. So I thought this was a good idea.
Yeah, it's a nice get-to-know-you episode.
Yeah, so there you go. That's who we sort of are in our video game lives. So let us know what your favorite video games are. We have an email address, ilovethisterriblegame@gmail.com. Or you can get with us on Twitter. I'm at my neighbor, MICH1.
I just totally blanked on what my Twitter thing is.
At ZenoNox.
Thank you.
Is there an underscore in there?
Nope, no underscore.
No underscore. At ZENONOX.
The Z and the second N are uppercase.
There you go. So yeah. I'm going to plug my main podcast, Jack Billings Presents Me and My Neighbor Michael. It's a weird comedy podcast about neighborhood goings-on that Chris is also on sometimes.
I am also on sometimes. I'm really weird on it. I think that's the whole purpose.
That's the whole reason.
I'm going to plug, I guess, my Twitch channel. I am Zeno_Nox on Twitch. I play video games and...
Perfect.
I'm usually pretty bad at them, but we have fun. It's usually the chat makes fun of me and I make fun of them, and we just, it's just a nice endless cycle of us making fun of each other. It's fine.
It is fun to make fun of Chris play video games, especially when he plays Devil May Cry and he gets to the last boss and it takes him 4 fucking hours to do it.
4 hours. That's not a joke. 4 hours.
It's not a joke at all.
Mondays took me 4 hours.
Like, yeah. Any.
You don't need to know that.
Well, now they do. Anyway.
Now they do. Anyways.
So our theme song was done by Kyle Check from the band Devil's Advocate, which are also awesome, and we definitely recommend checking them out. Mm-hmm. So, Merry Christmas if you celebrate it. Happy whatever you celebrate if you don't celebrate Christmas. And if you don't celebrate anything, hey, have a great day.
Yeah, do have a good day. I agree with that.
And we will see you next week when we're talking about Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest.
Yep, there it is. What a good night for a curse.